Hey, Robert, why should people listen to another retro gaming podcast?
You mean our cast, David? We do have to keep this short, you know.
Yes, well, I guess we should start with the fact we celebrate old school video games.
And we have awesome guests and game giveaways. Don't forget that.
Plus our game show and your favorite segment, Random Select.
Don't remind me. Are we done yet?
Listen to our cast, another retro gaming podcast, part of RetroZap.com.
Finally, back to my beer.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnis Training proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your King Baby Doc, Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. And listeners, what did I tell you in the previous episode? Never underestimate the music scene. Because out of nowhere, a band, an artist, is going to drop an album out of the blue, and it's going to blow everyone out of the water. Well, I woke up this morning. I'm recording this episode on Friday. Had my show prepared, had all my notes, and all of a sudden, boom! What I said would happen did happen. A big-time artist dropping an album out of nowhere. And that artist was Eminem with a new record, Kamikaze. And holy shit! Okay, some real talk for you right now. I've been a fan of Eminem for many years. I'm kind of showing my age when I'm saying that I've been a fan of his since the Slim Shady LP back in 1999. But I felt like his most previous records, like Marshall Mathers LP 2 and what was the other one? Revival, weren't as strong as his previous records. Like, the last Eminem album I loved was Recovery. This album is on par with that. This album is amazing. It is stupendous. And it is so good. Like, this is Eminem truly back at his A game. Pissed off and just in your face. The Slim Shady we know and love. So listeners, I urge all of you to totally check out his new album, Kamikaze, which is in stores right now. Now, and because of the fact that there are so many albums that are dropping out of the blue, even in Japan, out of nowhere, one of my favorite groups, NanoRipe, unleashed a new album. I think it's called Under the Pipple Tree, or let me just pull this up very quickly. Under the Tree Pipple, I believe. It is a great album, and I did not know that they were going to release another album this year. They've been releasing singles, they've been hinting at it, but there was never a real official announcement. I don't know if it was dropped out of the blue like Eminem's was, probably not. It was just me not having as much information as I usually do, but nevertheless, NanoRipe's new album was a nice surprise as well, a great record. And as such, and this is going to what I've already prepared for notes, because of so many great albums and so many great records, and I did touch about this on the previous episode, I've decided that this year I'm going to have two separate lists. A top J-pop albums and a top, well, non-J-pop albums list. Just in case. I was going to say top English language albums, but because of the way bands have been releasing albums out of the blue, there's like probably like an 80% chance that Rammstein's gonna drop their new album out of the blue, and knowing Rammstein's gonna be kick-ass, so I can't say English language albums because they sing in German, of course. But nevertheless, right now it's actually kind of exciting to be a music fan, a lover of the music industry. Not a lover of the music industry, but just a lover of music of all kinds, ranging from Japan to America to Germany to Britain to Sweden to Norway to France to Spain to Portugal all over the goddamn planet. And I am very excited about what's to come throughout the rest of the year. It's gonna suck when it comes to doing the top albums list. I mean, it might be a little bit easier now that I'm doing a top 20 albums from Japan and a top 20 albums from the rest of the world, but nevertheless, it's still gonna be really tough to, you know, make this list and make it feel like I'm doing both music industries justice. Before we really go too deep into this discussion, why don't we lead on towards this week's playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all their music on cdjapan.co.jp, YesAsia, Amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. And today we're going to start things off with the latest song from Lenny Code Fiction. And those familiar with My Hero Academia will recognize this one immediately. This is its recent opening theme, Make My Story.
Yeah. 意志のない女演じるのも駆け引き守ってあげるとか寄せたら勝負はついたわ。これが全てだと思ってはない。
W off of her new EP, Trouble. The Queen of J-Pop will be celebrating her 40th birthday next month, followed by a massive Japan tour in support of Trouble starting mid-October. So last week, I posted my review of this new video game called The Messenger, developed by Sabotage Studio and released by Devolver Digital. If you own a Nintendo Switch, then you absolutely need to buy this game. I gave it 5 stars, and a bunch more websites have been giving it rave reviews. And in fact, I think the lowest score I've seen from The Messenger is an 8 out of 10, which is pretty damn impressive. And this got me thinking about how the gaming industry is constantly looking back into its history to pull some new and returning titles. We, of course, know about the new Battletoads and games like Shovel Knight, The Binding of Isaac, and Phantom Trigger showcase a classic style of gaming with some modern storytelling. But this past week alone, we've been hit with some huge news involving some great classic games returning in a big way. Lizard Cube, the folks who made the excellent remake of Wonder Boy, announced that it will be helming the 4th installment in the iconic Streets of Rage series. It has been almost 25 years since we've gotten a brand new Streets of Rage installment, meaning we've gone from the original PlayStation era to present day without seeing Axel or Blaze kicking loads of ass. If you haven't yet, do yourself a favor and watch the trailer. It looks so amazing. Hopefully, we'll be hearing more about it during PAX West. Almost 12 years without any certain news, Onimusha Warriors will be coming back in a remastered port for the Nintendo Switch, PS4, and Xbox One next year. While it's not a new game, the original Onimusha I consider to be one of the greatest games to come out on the PlayStation 2. And I am hoping that this will lead to a new and big return of the franchise later on that year. It's one of those things where I feel like Capcom is just testing the waters with this remaster release. But then all of a sudden they'll announce like a new chapter in the series, probably sometime around E3. What it'd be about? Well, I have no idea, because as people know, the protagonist was different each time, but it will definitely have to revolve around the legend of Oda Nobunaga in some form. Lastly, there's one video game that I'm keeping my eye on called Damn of You, Built From Nothing, a collaboration with Brainwash Games and Syndicate Arts. The sandbox-style simulator reminds me a lot of Hotline Miami. I'll bet the animal heads aren't matched this time around. The world looks retro and gritty, and the trailer for it is really cool. And from what I read, it looks like there will be various ways to rise up in the ranks, be it with clean hard work or the dirtier hard knock way of life. It looks fantastic, but it's very early to tell what they're planning for it. But from its synopsis, it's got me hooked into seeing what Damn You is going to be about. Of course, as of this recording, as I just mentioned, PAX West is happening, and as such, I can expect a few more announcements like this making their way out. Although I've written a couple of really bad reviews as of late, especially the boring I Hate Running Backwards and the abomination known as All-Star Fruit Racing, I can still say that we're living in a great age for gaming, and these titles, as well as The Messenger, Crossing Souls, and even the OKKO Let's Be Heroes video game, are proof that it's always good to look back at what made past video games great to better the future of that world. By the way, Cyberpunk 2077 looks fucking amazing. I have no idea when the hell it's supposed to come out, but I am looking very much forward to seeing what this futuristic first-person RPG game is going to deliver. Watch that 48-minute presentation, because CD Projekt Red is going big with that. But right now, before we get all gamed out, let's head back onto the playlist. Coming up, we've got Tombstones in Their Eyes, who just released their latest EP, Nothing Here. From that record is Take Me Away.
Yeah. できる。
From the compilation album Rock and Sympathy, tribute to the Pillows, that was Baseball Bear with their rendition of the happy bivouac staple, Funny Bunny. If you find yourselves heading to the Bay Camp Rock Festival this week in Kawasaki, you can catch Baseball Bear on the East Island stage at 1:15 a.m. on September 8th. Our buddies Tsushima Mirai have returned with a new EP entitled Night and Morning, and will hopefully be back in the U.S. soon for another tour. From that new EP is a song called Night Rider.
Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube, Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Monday's always raining, the fountain overflows until I have you again. Take care through the alley and from the corner down.
Mark Lanegan and Duke Garwood with Upon Doing Something Wrong off of their latest album, With Animals. Seriously, Mark is one of the hardest working dudes in the alt-rock world, going from recording last year's amazing Gargoyle album and collaborating with Nico Case on her recent release, Hell On, to now regrouping with Garwood on this hauntingly good record. So I turned on my Xbox the other day to pop on VRV for my anime viewing stuff, when I was suddenly greeted with one hell of a surprise. Joining the ranks of VRV, which already includes Crunchyroll, Shudder, Funimation, and Mondo, was Nick Splatt. For those who don't know what Nick Splatt is, it's a channel that showcases the greatest era of Nickelodeon. And then some. You have classic Nicktoons like Rocko's Modern Life, Odd Real Monsters, and Kablam. Series like Salute Your Shorts and Clarissa Explains It All. And iconic game shows like Guts, Legends of the Hidden Temple, and Nick Arcade. For people like me that grew up in the 90s, this is a huge fucking deal. These are legit the shows I grew up on. Ones that helped shape the person I would become, for better or worse. However, not all the shows that I love to death are on Nick Splatt as of this recording, so I would like to take this opportunity to throw out some suggestions for VRV to add in the near future. Let me start the list out with the SNICK staple Roundhouse. Now, as a kid, I was a bit too young to enjoy the likes of Saturday Night Live and In Living Color, although I do have some fond memories of watching some of John Leguizamo's hugely underappreciated House of Buggin'. But Roundhouse was this off-the-wall kind of comedy and song and dance show that was both incredibly funny and surprisingly educational from time to time. It made you learn through fart jokes and silly parodies, and we legit loved it as a kid. It was one of the best things that happened on SNICK. Next on my list, of course, is Ren and Stimpy. Now, I don't think I really need to say why Ren and Stimpy should be on here, as the series is truly iconic. Without that angry chihuahua and dumb cat, probably 75% of all modern cartoons today wouldn't even exist. Hell, it's even influenced anime in many ways, especially with both Gainax and the dudes over at Studio Trigger. Hopefully, when the next round of additions are added, Ren and Stimpy will totally be a shoo-in. And my last pick, because, you know, I don't want to sound greedy, I'll just do three. You can't do that on television. Again, for similar reasons, I was too young to appreciate Monty Python, but this Canadian kids show really pushed the boundaries when it came to its gross-out humor. Plus, this was the show that invented sliming, a huge cornerstone in Nickelodeon's life. Not to mention young Alanis Morissette before she hit it big with Jagged Little Pill. Nice little tidbit there. So, those are my suggestions for shows that I would love to see added to VRV's Nick Splatt lineup. Considering their importance in the lifespan of Nickelodeon, it should be very easy for them to bring them over. But as of right now, with its already impressive lineup, Nick Splatt has plenty for our generation to revisit with wondrous glee. Seriously, I'm like going back and watching all of like Hey Dude and Nick Arcade. It's so cool to watch these old shows that I thought I would never see again. Alright, let's head on back to the playlist. Never One to Slow Down, Onesama are back with a new single soon after releasing their excellent album, Hi-Fi Pops. This currently serves as the end theme to the anime series Mukyo and Roji's Bureau of Supernatural Investigation, and it's called Otohashiru.
Oh, 僕らは出会った話の葉とかくれんぼ始まりは小さな嘘ひふみ揃ってて手と手を繋いでも愛の言葉言えなかった言えなかった桜の花散る窓に絡まってく縄跳びあの子シャンデリアの奇跡
Kino, Rika Nagase, and Konomi Kohara with Three Piece, the opening theme to this summer's Asobi Asobase. It's a song that constantly pulls the wool over the eyes each time, as its cuteness is a great contrast to the insane comedy that's presented. Always trust Lerche when making anime, because they know how to surprise the living hell out of you every single time. Up next, we head on over to the mean streets of London, England, with the band The Swagger. Here is their latest single, Heart and Soul.
Here's how the story goes, hoping that no one knows. Lend me your ears and eyes, okay, okay. okay, okay. One day I'll make her mine. I think of her all the time. I'll give her my heart and soul. My soul, my soul, my soul. My, oh my, such a pretty face. My, oh my, the girl you can replace. My, oh my, such a pretty. Knocking on her front door, hoping for so much more. I'll give her my heart and soul. My soul, my soul, my soul. I'll give her a gentle kiss. Don't wanna come out of this. I'll give her my heart and soul. My soul, my soul, my soul. My, oh my, such a pretty face. My, oh my, the girl you can replace. My, oh my, such a pretty.
Culture-saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste-testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings, digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
Bye.
Short story off of their latest album, Honey. They are currently in North America for a short tour, and you can read an interview I did with the quartet before they headed on over here on the B3 site. Folks, I am so happy right now because joining me for the first time in probably well over a year on No Borders Erased is our good friend from 42's Anime Reviews, Sarah, 42 Believer. How are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you for having me back.
Anytime. And I feel bad because it's been so long since you've been on the show, and I'm sure you've been up to many, many things since then.
Yes, I have. I actually just came back from a con. It was a really great con, if I can talk about it for a moment.
Yes, absolutely. Go right ahead.
So it's Matsuri Con in Columbus. The convention center is a really, really great location. And I really have done panels in the past, but they were at super, super tiny cons. And this is the biggest con I've ever done a panel at, but I really wanted to try to I feel like I've practiced enough. I've worked on them. I feel confident. Now I'm going to actually go and try to do this at a bigger con. And it was absolutely the most perfect test ever. I can't even begin to tell you how amazing it was. I had two panels. One of them was Anime Under the Radar. So basically I talked about anime that I thought didn't get enough appreciation or enough love for whatever reason. And then we're just going to talk about those. That was that panel. And then my second one was a female sports anime panel, which is sort of touched off of my video that I made on that subject.
Yes, I remember that.
And surprisingly, they gave me an 8 p.m. time slot on Saturday for my Anime Under the Radar panel. So that was really great because it's obviously in a pretty good time slot. Most people are going to be there on a Saturday as opposed to any other day.
Right.
And it's late at night, so most people want to go to a good panel later in the evening.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it wasn't conflicting with anything, because I know when something's going on in Saturday evening at Anime Boston, it's conflicting with Masquerade or something. So it wasn't conflicting with that.
I think it was conflicting with the second half of the Masquerade, but even so, I had a full room the entire time. They had to cap it.
Fantastic. So it was kind of like the first year when we did Who Cringe Last together, where we had to cap the room.
Yes, it was exactly like that. Every time someone got out to leave, someone came right back in, and I think probably only maybe five to seven people left during the course of the panel.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Right? I'm okay, some people are gonna leave. You're not gonna get everyone, but most everyone did stay. I was able to give out a ton of prizes, which felt really great because I got to reward people a panel about anime that aren't as well known. But if someone did know about them, they got a chance to prove that, and that's when I gave them the prize.
Oh, that's actually a cool idea. So, not to give anything away, I don't want to say give away, because I do want to ask, what were some of the anime that you showcased here, but I don't want you to showcase too much, because just in case you wind up doing this panel someplace else.
I will give, because I'm probably going to change it up every now and again, but there are some anime that definitely got a really great reaction out of them, and I showed a clip for each one I was talking about to also give them a taste of it. So one of the ones I will mention, because I might not put it in the panel next time, I might, depending, but it did get a really great reaction. I showed them the literal first scene to the first episode of Rose of Versailles. Because Rose of Versailles is well-known-ish, but people don't willingly go back and watch it, right? So I just think it's underappreciated.
I think it actually has a much bigger following in France, if I'm not mistaken, than it does here in America.
That would make total sense to me. Obviously, it's got a lot of the French. It's all about the French Revolution, basically, the lead up to the French Revolution.
Yeah.
But I showed them the first scene from the first episode, and they were literally laughing because he lifts the baby up and is like, "You are no longer a daughter. You are my son." And then they absolutely lost it. It was great. And it was really awesome, too, to have my friend Jennifer there. She was watching more of their reaction than I was. I was on autopilot just trying to have a good time and keep it high energy. she told me that there was like at least two people taking notes.
That's good.
Right?
So it shows that your panel is working, that it's getting people very interested in anime that hasn't really been spotlighted in the way it should be.
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of those shows out there, and everyone is going to be down for a panel where someone just basically gets to just gush about how much they like stuff, because people respond to that kind of energy and that positivity. So it was just like the most infectious energy in the entire room. There was one of the clips I played where they were so blown away by it, they burst out into applause after it was over.
Very nice, very nice. That's always a great reaction to get from a panel. Are you thinking about maybe doing one of these at Anime Boston?
Oh, totally now. Like, I have the PowerPoint all together, so if I want to switch out some of the anime, that's really easy to do, but it was addicting. It was like just like this just like shot of like adrenaline straight into my veins with all these weebs in the same room getting down with some really amazing anime, and it was just a magical night. Totally magical. And the staffer, he was turning the lights down and up during the whole panel. He did a really good job of that, and he said, "Oh, well, next year, you know, I'm going to recommend you guys to get a bigger room because, I mean, you know, that was just so amazing."
Terrific. And it sounds like Matsurikon is a really awesome one to check out. So if you're like in the Midwest area, it's definitely like one of the must go conventions to go to.
I would say so. They had Teddy Lloyd there as their music guest.
Oh shit, I like him.
Right? And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, it's not that big of a con. I'm gonna say that. It's not huge, but for the atmosphere that was there, like all the different things. They had escape rooms this year that you could go to. I mean, they were really putting on a real con there. It was really solid. I everything about it, absolutely recommend.
Fantastic. I got to check it out sometime too, because I'm trying to get more into see what kind of cons are out in the Midwest. I know there's Anime Central. There's that one that's in, there's one in Michigan. There's Matsurikon. And I'd be curious to see what conventions are like in other parts of the country, you know, besides the New England area.
Definitely. And the last convention I went to before this was Colossal Con, which is up near the Michigan border. And that one was also really great. I never knew that there was a con that had like open drinks, basically. You're allowed to have open containers through the con.
21 plus open containers or just like regular water?
21 plus open containers.
Ah, there we go.
So you can go up to the con. They have bars in the middle of the con. You obviously still have to show your ID, but you can walk up and get a drink, and as long as it's in that the convention center cup, they don't bother you. And all the drinks are named after anime.
It's sweet. So it's like a miniature Dragon Con some way.
Yeah, yeah, I would definitely say so. I've never been to Dragon Con, but I've heard the reputation.
I've never been to, and I've also heard said reputation. So before we talk too much about conventions, I have you on the show because you are very interested in talking about a specific series that is currently in its third season. I'm actually really surprised it is in its third season, and that is Overlord.
Overlord is so good. Shout out again to my best friend Jennifer, because she's the one who showed me it. Oh my god, I can't think of a better isekai show, and I really do hate that genre as a whole.
it's like a trash genre, but there are some real spotlights. I know you don't like Konosuba like I do, but that's one of my favorites in isekai. I love How Not to Summon a Demon Lord this season. There are some good ones. No Game No Life is an example, but Overlord is definitely one of the better ones.
Well, and I think the reason why they've been able to adapt so much is because there's actually so many light novels. They're not even like halfway through all the light novels.
Right.
And so I think that helps, because, you know, it's obviously popular, you know, enough to get three seasons, and they have plenty of source material to work with, so they don't have to worry about the hype train dying down because they have to wait for source material. The hype trains just keep on getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I would watch like 10 more seasons of this shit.
And that's what I'm really surprised about with Overlord, especially with Studio Madhouse still involved, because Madhouse has a reputation where they really don't do more than one season of a show, and that's it. It's very rare for them to even go back to a show. I mean, One Punch Land is not even going to be made by Madhouse for the second season. That's going to JC staff. So I was shocked that not only are they continually bringing back Overlord for the second season, but then when they announced the third season, I was like completely shocked. And it demonstrates the popularity of the series, not just in Japan, but over here in the Western world, especially with the message that you saw in the season premiere of season two, because that was really amazing that they said, hey, it's because of you guys that we got another season of this.
Yeah, and I joined the hype train late, so obviously there's still room to grow, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just hope it continues to grow.
So before we even continue on with this discussion, I just need to let my listeners know something, because as a disclaimer, before we talk more about Overlord, I was a shadow advisor in the creation of the series' first opening theme song, Klatanoia by OXT. So the story goes, my friend Sawa, she wanted my thoughts on a few of the song's English lyrics, which were written by her friend Tom Hack, who's part of OXT. And basically, they wanted me to make sure that the English made sense and wasn't nonsensical words. And it's a really good thing that they reached out to me, because a lot of the phrases that they showed me did not make sense at all.
Which one was that one again?
The one phrase that really stuck out for me was Hand of Bones.
Yeah.
I feel like that they were trying to describe Ainz's like hands, like him like wrapping the world or anything like that, wrapping it, but with his mm-hmm. hands being the skeleton that he is. But Hands of Bones, that's a phrase that just does not make sense at all. I even had to show my friend Sawa, there's no such thing as that phrase even in the medical dictionary. There's like this bone here, that bone there in this finger, and this finger bone there. There's no Hands of Bones. There's no bone hand.
Yeah. I mean, it just, I'm glad that you got to, that's just so cool that you got to help contribute and make that opening better, because, as I told you this beforehand, I love that opening. I will jam out for that opening. I want to memorize all the lyrics so I can sing it badly at karaoke next year. Like, oh my gosh. I definitely, the music is a really big, strong point in Overlord, just
absolutely,
in general.
Absolutely. I love what OXT does. I love Myth and Royd. I wish that Myth and Royd would do a show here in America, because they were just in France, I think, for like, what's that big Japanese convention that they have there, that big anime convention?
I do not know.
All right, I should have done the research for that. But what I find really fascinating about Overlord is just how vast the universe within Overlord is, because you have so many characters.
Mm-hmm.
In season one, more characters in season two, and even more characters in season three. And what I love about this is that it's managing to capture the essence and the world of an MMO so perfectly, because when you're in an MMO, there's like thousands upon thousands of very important characters, and every one of these characters that they showcase in here, even if they're just this small little like stable boy or however like small character, there's an importance to that character, and Overlord manages to showcase that every single time.
Well, and then I think that they really do spend a lot, like the way that they structure the episodes, you get just the right amount of time with all of the characters. It like touches on all the different aspects of what's going on, because there are so many characters, there's so much going on, and it manages to spend the right amount of time with all of them, so you never get bored by one of them. They all kind of get their little time to shine, and because they're spending all this time building it up, and we know that there's going to be more, it just ends up, the story ends up making a lot of sense, and the progression makes a lot of sense. Because what I've been told is that in the light novels, they actually spend a lot more time on certain things and like his inner dialogue explaining why he's doing what he's doing. And I think that if they did that more in the anime, it would end up holding it back eventually.
Pretty much. And I can kind of understand it, because there is a lot of narration in the light novels. Even in a lot of light novels that I'm reading, like with like Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon, like the narration in that is like, that could fill up an entire, like there's 10 pages of narration that could fill up one episode, but it would just be boring dialogue. And I can understand why they want to like trim away at some aspects of Overlord to make the, you know, make the story flow so much better.
Yeah, and sometimes it does not work out to where it makes sense, because my friend told me when we were watching one of the episodes, some minor spoiler here, they're meeting with a villager, and he meets the villager, but he sends Millennium Actress, the one NPC that he actually made, to go and pretend to be the Overlord in his stead. And they don't actually explain that in the anime, but in that scene, he's acting more like Millennium Actress than he actually does. And then later on, when the actual Overlord is in the room and he meets her, he, like, recognizes her, which wouldn't make sense if he was in there previously, but they don't ever explain that in the anime. So sometimes I think it works to his benefit, and sometimes it like, I was told, like, no, this scene right here, this is what's going on, and they don't end up explaining that in the anime.
Yeah, because there's some, because sometimes, you know, you got to trim down story, not just from dialogue aspect, but you got like 23 minutes to fill in an episode. So you got to like take some things out, which kind of sucks, because if there's something really important that they take out, then some people are going to be lost. But like, that's one of the things that it's awesome that there's such a huge universe in Overlord. But at the same time, like, there are times where I'm watching an anime and I'm like, it takes you like a minute or two to be, oh yeah, now I remember this guy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I really do love Momonga as the Overlord. Like, him as, like, the, okay, we don't even see in the anime what he looks like in real life.
Right.
And I really love that. I really, okay, I don't even get to see his boring, normal, normie form, because guess what? That doesn't even matter to the story. Like, the fact that he's in the game, that's what's important. We never even have to see his human, actual human form. So I think I bought into the hype of his character and what he was trying to do way more, because it just puts you right in there. It doesn't wait around.
Pretty much. So like, for the entire show, you just have this mentality of, okay, this is Skeletor's more successful brother.
Yeah. And I don't know if you have you been watching any of the dub?
I've not watched the dub, to be honest with you. I've only watched it subbed. I'm curious, though, how is Mormon or Einzelgun different in the dub compared to the sub?
So I've actually only watched one episode of it subbed, actually. I've watched it mainly in dub, because
really?
I watched the... Yeah, because it's all dubbed on Verve. So, and they're doing simuldub, so I watched up to the most recent episode, but I didn't, it wasn't dubbed yet, so I watched that one, subtitled. But I actually really love the guy that they got to do him. He has really great range. He does that, a really great switch between his internal monologue, I'm a normal Japanese salaryman, to his, very overpowering, I am the Overlord, type sound. He does a really great job. So I don't know who the actor is off the top of my head, but like, kudos to him. He is doing one of the best jobs in simultubs right now, honestly, because his character makes it so much more fun.
That would be Chris Guerrero, who does the English voice of Einzelgun. And
nice.
I do like the Japanese voice, Satoshi Hino as Ainz as well, because he does kind of switch between the tough guy, and then the internal monologue is like him kind of being a little coy, a little bit shy, not really sure what's exactly still going on despite being in the third season of this. I mean,
yeah.
I find it really funny that like right now in season three is when he realizes, oh, we're supposed to be taking over the world.
Yeah, and that's something I also really like, is just him interacting with all of the NPCs that him and his friends made to populate the MMO, and they ended up coming to life and creating this colorful cast that all just interact with each other so wonderfully. And that's just a lot of fun to watch him be like a dad to all of them.
Yeah, and what I like too is like, he still kind of has no idea what's going on or how to properly rule, which is why I like when he kind of like goes to one of his minions and be like, if you were me, what would you do? And then the minion would be like explaining every step of what their plan would be, and then Ainz would be like, oh ho ho, you know me very well. Yes,
yeah.
Let's do that plan.
That was totally my plan all along. Oh, congratulations, Demiurge. You were smart enough to figure it out.
What I like, too, about Overlord on that subject is that it has this level of surprise humor that sometimes comes out of nowhere. Case in point, the lizard people.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about when the main lizard guy meets the princess, but when Ainz calls up on his orb, where is this lizard guy? And there's the lizard guy and the cute albino princess lizard girl. Getting their freak on, and you just see Ainz's mouth just almost like fall off of his skull, like his eye. It's like.
So my favorite thing, honestly, was like when they were like demanding that, like giving the lizard people their ultimatum, and they create that like huge pillar and climb all the way to the top from it, and he's like speaking on top of this pillar down to all of the lizard people, and it's just absolutely extra and totally unnecessary, but they just wanted to be like, yeah, I'm badass, so we're totally gonna do this and freak all of them out.
But he's just still that shy Japanese salaryman, which I do, which, you know, I know it touched about how not to summon a demon lord, because there is a lot of similarities between Ainz Al-Ghul and Diablo, but the difference between those two is that Ainz hides his, like, shy persona so much better than Diablo does in How Not to Summon a Demon Lord. Which one's the succubus? Albedo?
Yes.
Even when she literally jumps his bones in the season premiere.
Yeah. And I like how, like, they used that moment to kind of, he was testing out whether or not he was still in the actual game. And it had this little etchy moment, but it wasn't actually to just have an etchy moment. It made sense in the plot that this is something that's explicitly not allowed in the game. So if I can do it here, then ergo, we must not be in the game. It's just so clever. It's so clever.
It is. And I feel like it's a very underappreciated series. And, like, I initially didn't want to talk about it on my podcast or, like, my actual Boston Bastion Gate website, mainly because of the whole opening theme aspect of me working on that. I didn't know if it would have been, like, against protocol or anything like that, but since, you know, a couple of years has gone by since then, I think it's very safe that we could talk about Overlord here on our show. And I think it's amazing just how, number one, how beautiful the show is, number two, how clever it is, number three, how funny it is, and number four, how relatable, like, even the most evil characters in this show are, on some level and on some degree.
Yeah, yeah. They all definitely, I mean, they feel like, I mean, some of them might be evil, but they still got that, like, basic human, like, drive to them and instinct to them. I definitely think that one of the best fights was the fight between him and Clementine. The one chick who, and the dub, the person who dubs her in the anime is fantastic. She just goes all out. It's so much fun to listen to. You can just tell she had, this is what my friend said, you can tell that she had fun recording that in the booth.
Yeah.
And so I really, really liked that fight between the two of them. It was super intense, and like, he's being awful to her, but I'm kind of like, yeah, do it. I feel that. I feel those emotions, like, crush her, please crush her, literally. This is something else that me and my friend talked about, is that, like, the CG doesn't, it's not that bothersome.
No, the CG is actually pretty decent. It's not like the messed up thing that we see on the 2016 Berserk show. No, this is, it's actually pretty nice, and it fits with the style and the tone of the anime.
Well, and they only use it when they, like, really need to, you know? And so you are not constantly seeing it, and it doesn't become an eyesore, and then they don't use it for, like, the humans. They use it for just the monsters. So it just kind of visually makes a little more sense to, it, like, helps create that separation in between the monsters and the humans.
And listeners, if you're interested in checking out Overlord, you can watch it in Crunchyroll, Funimation, and apparently it's pronounced Verve. I've been saying VRV for, like, the past 2 years. I had no
I, you know, honestly, I think I just remember hearing someone say that way online. I don't know if that's the actual pronunciation.
Well, maybe you're wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see what happens next time if I ever get to chat with any of the guys over at Crunchyroll or Verve/VRV. But Sarah, thank you so much for joining me here on No Borders Erased. For our listeners, where can people find everything that you do?
So you can find me in two main places. You can find me on Twitter. That's the best place to get in contact with me if you have any questions about, like, anything that I'm doing or anime that I'm watching. That's the best place to go for there. It's also the best place to go for updates in between when I post on my YouTube channel, which is the second place you can find me, Fortitude Believer, there on YouTube and Twitter. I know it's been a while since I've posted a video, but it's not because I haven't been thinking about posting a video. It's been a little bit squirrely, and I've just been working behind the scenes, and hopefully I will be delivering some great content soon.
Yes, and for our listeners, hopefully soon as well, on the Boss of Bashgate page, Sarah may actually be writing a couple of Yaoi manga reviews too.
So definitely keep out your eye for those, because I am hella excited about that.
Excellent. So right now, we are going to spin the latest opening theme to Overlord, and it's a very particular, special kind of love song. A love song for those who love people so much that they want to eat them. Have you ever felt that way before?
Yes.
Here are Myth and Royd with Vorocity.
I am very, very crazy, very
Nothing can be
Darren Malakian and Scars on Broadway with We Won't Obey from their latest album, Dictator. You know, for an album that was recorded back in 2012, it's still pretty damn relevant. And while we're still waiting on a new System of a Down record, Dictator has been a great way to keep us at bay. Definitely go and check it out. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter and the J-Pop, Video Games, and Anime Amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBastardBrigade and on Facebook.com/Land of Esh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smashed Rook. Promotional consideration for this week's tracks from Tombstones in Their Eyes and The Swagger, made by Shameless Promotion PR. And thank you once again to Sarah for joining me in the Overlord segment. Please be sure to like her 42's anime reviews page on Facebook, as she's currently prepping for something big on her YouTube channel. You might also see her contribute some yaoi manga reviews on the B3 site in the near future, so keep your eyes peeled for that. You know, if yaoi's your thing, of course. On the next episode of Wicked Anime, we chat about a new hockey manga. Not one made by us. We know, shocking. Do some waifu watching with How Not to Summon a Demon Lord, the new Matt Groening series Disenchantment, and give our thoughts on the first volume of the manga series, Sorry for My Familiar. It's happening this Thursday on the Nerdy Show site and wherever podcasts can be found. Today we're going to end things with the latest single from Bird, Bear, Hair, and Fish, whom you may remember me talking about as being the band formerly known as Galileo Galilei. And fun fact, their name comes from a famous quote from Stephen King's Dark Tower series. This song currently acts as the end theme for Boruto, Naruto Next Generations, and will be on their new album, Moon Boots, in stores September 5th. This is Leica, and until next time, this is King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
guys, this is your King Baby Duck Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and your host for the No Borders, No Race podcast. Each episode, we play the best, brightest, and hottest acts from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. Every song spun is but a mere taste of what you can expect of the artists heard, so if you truly loved what hit your eardrums, please be sure to support these musicians and buy their albums, EPs, and singles. Places like Amazon.com, CD Japan, Yes Asia, Bandcamp, iTunes, and even your local record store are great places to plop down some sweet moolah to let those artists know that they're doing a heck of a good job with their melodies. The more an artist gets support from listeners, the better the chance that they'll come to a venue nearest you to play the sounds that won your heart. This message is brought to you by the Boston Bastard Brigade, reminding you all to support your local, national, and international artists any way you can.